abdominal snake. Preach to him and either make him mad. As I say, I'm either going to make everybody shouting happy or I'm going to make them fighting mad. There's not going to be no middle ground. They're either going to love me or hate me. And that's the way Jesus was, the apostles and the prophets of God. They were loved and hated. There was no middle ground. They all swept it out. When you preach the Jesus Christ that I serve and him crucified, there's no middle ground. You either love the guy or you hate him. You either wish he had everything or you wish he was dead. Praise God. Don't bother me. We're living in the day when the Bible predicted in Amos 8:11, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They'll wander from sea to sea and from the north to the east. They'll run to and fro to seek the words of the Lord and shall not find it. And in that day the young men and fair virgins shall faint for thirst." We're living in the day when the teenagers and the mothers and dads are all equally famished. The homes are coming apart. Why? Because there's nothing there. The adhesive of the Spirit of God is not counseling with some old dead preacher. Tell you what Shakespeare or what Freud said about sex. God have mercy in this world. What Freud said about sex. That's what these old jokers tell folks. Oh, you need to learn how to be a better lover. That's what they're ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. The apostle warns in 2 Timothy 3:7. They don't learn the truth. And these old soothsaying preachers get in there and they start all that old love talk. Old talk about, why, my Lord, they done been through their honeymoon. They got along all right while the honey was on the moon. But after that was over, then they begin to look around and lust after somebody else's wife or husband. And then, brother, you got a job getting that old heart straightened back out again. See, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jesus said in Matthew 7, and beginning in verse 20, he said, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, blasphemy, an evil eye, pride, foolishness. All these things come out of the heart of man and they defile the man." That's what's wrong today. We don't get down to the heart of the problem. And the heart of the problem is giving them counsel from God's word. And God's word tells us to be careful about these false prophets that will deceive and seduce and bewitch and beguile. And that means to mislead, to delude, to betray confidence in. The word deceive. The Bible warns us of this terrible lukewarmness that we're in. In which out of the midst of God's people, the Bible tells us that there will be men that will arise, and they always come out of the midst of God's people. A false prophet don't come from nowhere. He comes from the midst of God's people. Let me give you a few warnings about this particular thing. In 1 John 2, verse 17 and 18, or 18 and 19 rather. "Little children, it's the last time, and as you've heard, that Antichrist shall come. And even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know it is the last time. They went out from us, for they were not of us. For had they been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us, but they went out from us that it might be manifest that they were not all of us." In 1 John again, chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, he says, and this is a grave warning, and it tells you exactly where these guys come from. The Bible says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God, for many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you've heard that he would come, and even now he's already in the world." You're of God, little children. Now let me tell you something here. Don't tell me now that the preacher said he believed in Jesus and was still a false prophet. It didn't say the preacher You know the preacher as a false prophet because he confessed Jesus came in the flesh. He'd say you know the spirit. The spirit that was behind that preacher's ministry that is deceiving God's people. So he said in verse 4, "You're of God, little children, and you've overcome them," because overcome them what? Overcome them preachers. And overcome them old spirits of Antichrist that's in them preachers and behind them preachers, pushing them out to the front, giving them charisma, granting them abilities that other men does not possess. A charmer, a bewitcher, a sorcerer always has more charm, personality, charisma than a man of God possesses. Lord, have mercy sakes. People go around judging a preacher by his charm. Well, that's the first thing you look for, is his old charm to brand him as a false prophet. Isn't he the most charming fellow you ever did hear in the pulpit with his exegesis? Exegesis, you know what that is? That's a sermon that tears the Bible apart and don't put it back together. That's a theological term, you know, for dissecting the Bible and telling you what the Hebrews and the Greek means, that you can't trust the King James anymore. You know, this old brogue and stinking, ungodly, monotone, patronizing old rebels. God have mercy sakes. Everybody you meet has got his own opinion, like our dear candidate, Brother Reagan. He says all the Bible to the Americans is what the Americans, each one interprets it to mean. Well, Foote, I believe in Reagan's philosophy to a great extent, but I don't believe in that. Why don't he stay out of religion and play his politics? And the rest of them. The Bible tells us going on in 1 John 4, you've overcome them because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. That you've overcome the false prophets and the spirits of Antichrist that are directing those men to deceive, to seduce, to bewitch and beguile. All right, verses 4, 5 and 6. He said, they're of the world. God have mercy. Now that tells you a mouthful right there if he didn't say another word. They're of the world. Therefore speak thee of the world. And who hears them? And the world heareth them. We're of God, little children. And he that is of God heareth us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. That spirit of error is a terrible spirit that's alive, that's prospering in today's old sick, ungodly Laodicean church society and sick culture that we're living in, that's paganizing daily and bringing us out into the terrible judgments of God that we're swiftly headed into. There are the world. That's where they come from. In Acts 20, 28, Paul said, take heed to yourselves, speaking to the elders of the church in Ephesus, and unto all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves come in among you, not sparing the flock. And of your own selves, verse 30 says, shall men arise right out of the church of God. Wasn't speaking particularly about a denomination, even if Paul called his church that. He was speaking about the Christian church. Among your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things. Perverse means deadly, destructible things, to draw away disciples after themselves. He said, don't you remember by the space of 3 whole years, with tears, I warn you of these things? And what did he say? His recommendation was, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Amen. Praise God, I'm going to stay with our sanctified people. Praise the Lord. World can do what it wants to do. The devil and the pagans and all the politicians and all these old false prophets and bewitching, seducing, beguiling preachers. I know where they're all going, to the pit. The blind lead the blind, they both fall in the ditch, and that means the pits of hell. We're living in the day of the Laodicean fulfillment, when God has spewed the church out of his mouth. We're living in the day of the prophecy of Amos 8, where there's a famine for hearing the word of the Lord. We're living in the day of the prophecy of Jesus Christ in Matthew 7, beginning in verse 15, when he says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by what? Their fruits." Lord, people don't even look for their fruits. Go around after some old silly preacher and they don't ever inspect his fruit. You better start looking, inspecting. Amen. Well, so you're not supposed to judge. You better quit being so dumb and start doing some judging or discerning. That's what the word means, to discern. You'll know them by their fruits. Well, there's some more now I wanted to get to, but that clock is sure going fast. So I'm going to skip.